What's going on? It is week 9, episode 13 here on Fantasy Process Report. And once again, multi-location podcasting from the suburbs of Philadelphia to sunny, is it sunny? Miami Beach, Florida. Jason, is it sunny?
Oh, it's beautiful. I was sweating my ass off earlier today. I was on the phone with our friend Ben, and he was asking, because he's coming down to visit in a couple weeks, and he was like, oh, is it still warm there? And I was like, pal, I'm outside on the grandstands right now shooting some videos of stuff, and I'm sweating my ass off. I had to bring another shirt to the office just to have something to change into afterwards.
Yeah, we're both.
So yes, to answer
here,
your question, it is warm.
We're shaking our eyes and rolling our eyes and shaking our heads over here, but that's just because we're both jealous.
As
shaking
usual,
your eyes might make you a little epileptic or something.
As usual, me and Nick are up here in Philadelphia, and Jason, as we already said, is down in Miami.
It's really not cold, though, here yet. I mean, I know
it's
you're...
It's chilly. It's been cold.
It's chilly, but it hasn't really gotten, like, cold yet.
It's
going to
be 71
need...
on Thursday.
Well, that's
so is it
nice.
Sweatshirt weather or, two jackets weather?
It's dependent on the day. There were a couple
days... It is changing day to
day.
There
were a couple days last week where the high was mid-40s. That was jacket.
Yikes.
Today, high was mid-50s. It was sweatshirt.
Okay.
Yeah, but again, we haven't had like a freezing day yet, which thank God.
Overnight, it's gotten into the 20s, but
well, damn. Yeah,
I don't go outside at night. I just let my dog out and stand at the door.
Fair enough. Now, it's a very special day today.
Yes, it is.
Because today is October 30th, and it's not just because it's mischief night here in suburban Philadelphia.
I'm going to hear eggs coming with the window right in front of me in a second.
Jason, you don't have to
Which,
worry
by the way,
it,
is something
that...
That's every night.
The Mischief Night is something that doesn't really exist anywhere outside of Philadelphia.
I'm aware
which
of
I didn't
that.
Know until
it
I got to school.
It is a Philly, South Jersey thing. Other than that, that's not a thing.
It should be a thing everywhere.
It's not. But Jason doesn't have to worry about Mischief Night. Up here, we might. That being said...
In Miami, every night's Mischief Night.
It's not just Mischief Night. It is also the NFL trade deadline day. NFL trade deadline
yes,
ended today
is.
At 4 p.m. That is just under 4 hours ago from now.
It was a slow start to the day.
It was a slow start and a very rapid finish.
Yeah, I'd say right around 1:30, 2 o'clock, started picking up. Got a lot of good trades.
Well, the last trade was made with 15 minutes to go. I mean, it went down to the wire today.
Yeah, this one might have been one of the more busy trade deadlines I've seen in a long time. And then when you couple that with the Khalil Mack getting traded and a couple of the other ones that happened before the deadline, Carlos Hyde
Eli
and some other
Apple.
Guys. Yeah, like along with all those other ones, the whole trade season from training camp until now, it was probably one of the busier ones I think I can remember.
Yeah, definitely. We got we're going to go into a couple of them and we will analyze them from a fantasy perspective and see how the teams on both ends of the trades are affected.
Now, let's start with probably the most fantasy-relevant trade that happened today. Demaryius Thomas traded to the Houston Texans. To replace Will Fuller, who is out for the season, hurts like three of my fantasy teams. I am just... Injuries are not my friend this year.
I gotta say, though, when he went down with that, he did not look like he tore his ACL.
No, he walked
he
off the field.
He had a very, very little reaction. Like,
and he walked off the field.
Even before he walked off the field, he like just looked very straight-faced.
He did. He also put up 20 points, so I'm not mad about it. But
yeah, he had a good day. Some guys just, when they have the ACL injury, you never know. I mean, I remember watching the Nerlens Noel one as it happened when he was playing at Kentucky. I just happened to be watching that game. And that one, you could tell immediately the way he went down, like, oh, man, that's the ACL. But then other guys, like, I heard a story of Brian Bulaga tearing his ACL in a training camp practice and then finishing the practice and then coming out afterwards and, oh, yeah, he tore his ACL. Same thing happened with Jay Ajayi. Some guys, yeah, you can't
even touchdown.
Tell.
Kobe Bryant shot free throws after tearing his Achilles.
Yeah.
But he looked – he was limping hard, though.
He's the model,
like, Kobe
man.
Bryant, he looked like he was really injured. He
Regardless.
Just toughed it out.
Also, Carson. I think Carson's is the most impressive.
Yeah, Carson threw a touchdown pass after tearing his ACL. Stayed in there in two plays later.
And he took a hit on that play too, didn't he?
Not on the touchdown pass.
No,
but
he didn't.
You could tell he was. You could tell he was feeling it. He was standing straight up in the air. But regardless, as we looked, Demaryius Thomas to Houston for, I believe it was 2 picks.
Yeah, we don't care about the picks here.
Yeah, it was a fourth and then the swapping sevenths.
Ah, that's right.
So, Texans.
What it matters is Deshaun Watson has another weapon.
He does. And that's honestly, true. I prefer this weapon more than Will Fuller. I think Deshaun's going to do better with him than he would with Will Fuller in terms of hitting him all over the field.
Whereas Will Fuller seemed to be pretty one-dimensional.
Yeah, and then Kiki Kuti is coming back as well, I believe. I think he's projected points last time I saw, so if he comes back too, then their receiving core got better.
Oh, I think
with
Will Fuller
going down, but
mm-hmm. I mean, getting Demaryius Thomas is a huge jump for them. I think it helps Demaryius as well as it helps Deshaun Foster.
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Foster. Wow.
Yeah, where's Jeremiah at? Hunky's tired. In case we didn't establish that on here.
Deshaun Watson. My bad.
Long
that
work
being
day.
Said, Demaryius Thomas wasn't getting the kind of looks that he was used to from Case Keenum this year.
I don't think he was getting the quality of looks. I think he was getting his targets, or he was getting close to his targets. But
he was not getting the same amount of targets as he usually was.
They were just
was.
Passes. I mean, and even just from the quarterback himself. Like, I mean, obviously the glaring one is that one that could have won them the game. That was, you know, Case Keenum sailed it maybe 3 or 4 yards deep, but I think he was just inaccurate. I mean, he wasn't converting on a lot of the targets. Maybe
it's not that he's inaccurate. Look
coverage.
At Emmanuel Sanders' numbers.
Know.
He's not being inaccurate. He's just not targeting Demaryius Thomas as much as he's targeting Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, that's where I was going to go with it. I was going to say that you look for the past, like, I'd say 3 or 4 years, it's been Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders pretty much even split in terms of how good they are, when they perform, who has the good week in any given week. But this year, Emmanuel Sanders has definitely stepped up, and he's been the more reliable guy. So I think this is going to be a little bit of a spark for Demaryius. I think he improves, it helps his fantasy value a good amount.
As both a Demaryius Thomas and now Emmanuel Sanders owner, I am very excited.
you had both of them?
For you.
I just traded for Emmanuel Sanders today.
That trade has to process. I don't know how many votes it has right now.
It's not going to
I don't
vetoed.
See any reason it would get vetoed.
It's not
going to
get
I think
vetoed.
The veto, I really refrain from using the veto. I only do it when there's like a really unfair trade.
I'm not
like,
trying
the
to.
The only
in this,
thing about
No, yeah, like
is,
so in this trade, like there's nothing unfair about it.
I'm trading with a 7-1 team.
Right, but it's not like it's an unfair trade and I'm selling the farm.
Okay, so
yeah,
hold
like
on.
There's value and going both ways.
So let's explain the trade here.
We have to tell people the trade.
I am 1-7, as you loyal listeners know. It has not been a
yeah,
good
yeah, he didn't
year
win last
me.
Week.
It has not been a good year for me. I'm in desperate need of a running back. As I've said before in the show, my first two running back picks were Devontae Freeman and Jay Ajayi. My current running back scenario is not a good one. It is Matt Breida, Doug Martin, waiver wire pickup from last week, Duke Johnson, Corey Clement, and Ito Smith. It is not a good
I'll give you that.
Game.
It's not great.
If you have paid attention the last couple of weeks, you'll know Marlon Mack has returned from his hamstring injury.
Say the trade first. Before we start justifying it, say the trade.
All right. I'm trading Antonio Brown for Emmanuel Sanders and Marlon Mack.
Okay, and you accepted this trade before Demaryius Thomas was traded away.
It was. I accepted it before Demaryius Thomas was traded away, knowing that I still have Robert Woods as my number one running back now, with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders to fill in the other wide receiver slot in the flex.
All right, now go ahead and try and justify this trade to me.
So,
to all of us. To all of us.
So, I'm not taking that far of a step back from Antonio Brown to Demaryius Thomas based on the numbers they've put up so far this season.
You mean Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Antonio Brown to Emmanuel Sanders. I'm going from the fifth ranked running wide receiver right now to the 8th ranked wide receiver. Emmanuel Sanders is only averaging 2 points less per week than Antonio Brown right now. It's not a bad move, and now he's going to get more looks because that's going to be his only target. I'm also getting Marlon Mack, who, if you have looked over the past couple weeks, has clearly turned into the number one guy. If you look at his numbers,
he's had two good weeks.
Three. Well, they started giving him the ball in week six against the Jets. 12 carries for 89 yards.
What a good week.
Week seven, 19 carries for 126 yards and a touchdown. Also caught the ball twice for 33 yards for a touchdown. And then 25 carries for 132 yards and two touchdowns in week eight. He's clearly become the go-to guy in Indianapolis. And I think I can get a running back out of him. And since we have a keeper league, he could easily become a solid keeper for me.
When was he drafted?
Eighth round. He would be eighth round, seventh round for the next 2 years.
That is such a shitty keeper. You can draft him there. He's not going to go higher than that.
Not if he keeps putting those kind of numbers up.
2 weeks. You're pulling from a pool of 2 weeks.
Who else on my team would you even consider keeping?
Huggy, you can go out and get any running back you want for Antonio Brown. You can literally go and ask for any running back.
I got a decent receiver. I'm still building my team. I'm 1-7. I needed to do something. I can't sit here idly by while my team keeps self-destructing.
Matt,
I needed
to
do something. And Cam Newton were literally the only two people on my team, or Robert Woods, with any legitimate trade value. Seriously, other than Cam Newton and Robert Woods, find someone other than Antonio Brown with legitimate trade value.
Trade Demaryius Thomas for Marlon Mack straight up.
I want Demaryius Thomas now. he's on Houston now. I want him.
Well, then trade Robert Woods.
No, I like what I've done.
All right. Well,
Matt, let me play the opposite to Marlon Mack's hot past two games. So I think the most important part, yes, he had 30.9 points and then 27.9 points against. The most important part of this is the opponent. It's Buffalo and Oakland. That meant that the Colts were up the majority of both of those games and had to run the whole time to run out the clock. I don't think they're going to be up in many games.
Yeah.
Look at the rest. They only have...
Do you think this touchdown rate
will continue?
Look
at the rest of the defenses they have to play.
Do you think he's going
to
put up Todd Gurley numbers
Look at the rest of the defenses they have to play. They don't have to play anybody that tough.
Tennessee, I think they could do that. And then maybe like Dallas or the Giants.
Jacksonville looked shitty this week.
They did.
Miami,
I don't think the Colts would be
Miami
up by a lot.
Not good.
And
Houston's
need to
defense
run the whole time.
Is not strong. Okay. Houston's secondary is strong.
They have J.J. Watt and De'Veon Clowney on their line.
They're pass rushers.
They have the number two fantasy defense. I'll put it that way.
Oh, we also play the Giants. Week.
I'm just saying, I think the opponent has more to do with those two games than a lot of other things.
I bet you... let me look at your lineup again. I won't even go with your top running back left. I'll go with... I bet you Antonio Brown and Doug Martin outscore Marlon Mack and Emmanuel Sanders the rest of the way.
Ooh, that's interesting.
I don't know what you want to bet on that, but I bet you that Antonio Brown is that much better than those two the rest of the way out.
I think you'd almost throw out Doug Martin because I don't think he's even the best fantasy running back on Oakland.
Right. Jason said you can throw out Doug Martin because he sucks. I have no running backs.
Okay, so you also need to remember what Jason said when you first made this trade. Emmanuel Sanders, now that Demaryius Thomas again is gone, is going to attract all of the attention.
Not all.
Who else?
I mean, you do have Cortland Sutton come up.
They have nobody else. Cortland Sutton, okay.
Cortland Sutton.
But
they
he's
do
not
have him. He'll get his opportunities,
much.
But
Deshaun
yeah.
Deshaun Hamilton.
Yeah. Who? What?
Deshaun. Hey, Penn State guy.
Deshaun Hamilton.
Not even
yeah.
Deshaun. Deshaun. Who has scored 5.9 points this year?
He's been hurt, apparently.
He's been hurt. Well, you know, you've been monitoring.
He banged his knee on the table yesterday.
My inside sources have told me.
I don't know. I'm not for vetoing trades, but...
Oh, that was only available.
I just... Pete's team does not need... He doesn't need to trade his fourth best running back. You can literally go after other running backs on that guy alone's team, let alone trying to trade... Antonio Brown, I guarantee you if you try and talk to other people in the league, they can give you a better offer than that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think even on Pete's team, you could have talked him into, like, Christian McCaffrey or something.
I don't have a keeper. I don't need a first-round player. I don't want a first-round keeper again. It didn't work for me.
I offered you Deshaun Watson, who would be a 15th round keeper. Not to mention a quarterback that you can play.
You can. You
dog,
can
I'll
wait.
Trade you.
You
Philip
can.
Wayne
he wasn't
so
right to get a quarterback. You can wait so long.
You're not going to get Deshaun Watson, that caliber player, in the 15th round. You don't have to worry about quarterbacks at that point in the draft. You can literally spend your first 10 picks on position players.
We're not going to spend more time on this.
Yeah,
it's
we don't
done.
Need to talk about our
it's
individual
done.
League.
You know what? I'm going to win this week, and you guys are going to be like, wow, you know what? That was a decent trade.
You say you're going to win every week, though, huh?
And you guys are going to be like, wow.
You're 1 for 7, or 1 for 8 on that.
Well, to be fair, the guy I'm
right.
playing doesn't have Ertz this week, so.
Moving
big,
on. Next,
big ups.
Golden
next
Tate.
Big trade this week was.
Golden Tate to the Birds!
I'm a big fan of this move. I think he steps into a situation where Carson is a very capable quarterback. I mean, that's not to say Matt Stafford
you
wasn't.
You want to rephrase that?
I mean,
top
I'm just
five.
Saying, yeah,
top five,
I mean, he's very good, yeah. And
not
I think
from
he'll,
fantasy, though.
So
not
apologies
fantasy,
to Nelson Agholor, but he'll step into Nelson Agholor's role and just do better. I think that's just what's going to happen.
No.
Does Nelson Agholor just disappear now, though?
No. No, yeah. I think Golden Tate works more.
Who loses targets? Is Goddard going to lose target
no,
share?
No, Wentz is a big tight end guy, and they really do love the
but, like, you
got to
take him from
sets.
Somewhere. They got to come from somewhere.
As Jordan Matthews.
You've got to give Golden Tate
if you're
going to
take away
too.
Targets from somebody, it's going to be Jordan Matthews.
Well, then why even have
yeah,
him on the team?
True.
You're only giving him like 4 looks a game anyway.
He
Golden
caught,
Tate should be getting more than
eight
that
balls
anyway.
This past week.
Caught 8?
Something like that. Jordan Matthews yeah. got a lot of targets this past week.
Well, I think that's an anomaly, but.
Well, he's going to be the one to lose targets if Golden Tate comes. Well, when Golden Tate comes. It's going to be one of those things. Agholor has a very niche role in the slot. I don't think Golden Tate's going to play a lot of slot. I think that they're going to keep Agholor there because the 2 years that Agholor really struggled was when he was split outside as an outside receiver. As soon as he moved into the slot, he became good.
Yeah, but that's exactly what Golden Tate's done the past couple years, too.
Well, good news is
Golden Tate can do it all, though.
Golden Tate
he
is
can,
great
yeah.
with
yards
a lot more
after the
capable
catch.
Than Nelson Agholor.
Honestly, you could probably I'm sure Doug is clever enough and creative enough coming from that Kansas City God knows whatever Andy Reid's doing over there, that he can figure out a way to get Golden Tate in the backfield too. I mean, with the Eagles' struggles
yeah,
at running
I don't
back,
think that's gonna happen.
I think you could see him lining up right next to Carson more often than not.
In the Lions did that.
I don't think you're gonna
Lions using him in the run game.
Yeah, I just don't think you're gonna see.
Not even necessarily getting rushing attempts, but just lining up in the backfield right there, and then maybe getting a swing pass or maybe running a quick L out to the middle or something.
I will say, the play that I feel like I've been seeing more this year in the NFL than any other year is the jet sweep. And having
yeah.
the running back come in motion and then the quarterback just get it and then just pitch it right in front of him.
Well, they've been giving Agholor the jet sweep a
I've
lot.
Been seeing that everywhere. That's what I'm saying. I've been seeing that across the NFL.
Hey,
Mahomes has like 5 touchdowns
school.
Off of that.
Red 28 speed sweep. That was our play. 28 or 37 speed sweep.
But that's why I know is because it affects fantasy because it counts as a pass. So
that's
why I know
yeah.
it's been happening because you see it and you're like, oh, it's a run play. But no, it's not. That's a pass play.
Yeah, and Mahomes' 6 touchdown game in the beginning of the season, I think 2 of them were that. So
yep.
like the next day, all the analysts in ESPN were like, Mahomes, 6 touchdowns. But like really, he had 4.
Either way, I think Golden Tate's value goes up.
I think
with
it stays
Wentz.
The same.
I think Wentz's value goes way up.
Wentz's goes up. I think that it mm-hmm. helps the people around him, kind of. In terms of Wentz, definitely. I think
Jeffrey gets helped by this. Ertz,
yeah.
I think, gets helped more than anyone, which I don't even know if he needs the help.
He doesn't need it.
The problem is
the best tight end in the league right now. And I'm not saying that because I'm biased. I mean, statistically, he
yeah,
is
he
the
is.
Best tight end
yeah,
in the league right now.
Yeah, he absolutely
now.
Is. Yeah, I think Golden Tate, he'll because he operates mostly out of the middle of the field, catching those short passes and those kind of possession passes. And that's exactly where Ertz has been a lot of the season. So if Golden Tate maybe is lined up on the other side, that draws away a linebacker from who would have been shadowing Ertz.
My only concern is that for Golden Tate, the only reason why I would think that he might not be better is because you guys have so many people to throw the ball to. And it's
but
just
we
like,
have no
unless,
running game right now.
Unless
we
you
have
just
to
stop
throw.
Running the ball. Unless you stop running the ball, I don't think that it's necessarily going to be better for fantasy. I think your team got better, and your offense got better, and you're going to score more, but are you going to get Ertz a touchdown, Jeffrey a touchdown, Tate a touchdown, and two other people a touchdown every game, you know?
I think Ertz and Jeffrey stay as the red zone targets.
Yeah, I don't think their value changes at all. Really.
Ertz and Jeffrey are still.
I think Ertz
two
might go up
targets.
A little bit, but I don't think those two. I don't think it affects them really at all.
I mean, they're the two biggest guys on the team. They got the best hands on the team. It's still going to be Ertz and Jeffrey inside 20 yards. But anywhere else in the field, that's literally anybody's game. And they don't have a running game, so they are going to be passing it. Unless they really get Josh Adams moving, they don't have a running game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to have a running game to some extent. You need to.
Oh, well, I'm aware.
And that's not talking about fantasy, just talking about.
Oh,
football.
Yeah. I'm aware. You know, losing LeGarrette Blount was probably the worst thing the Eagles did.
Yeah, he was a workhorse.
He really was a workhorse, and he was extremely undervalued. Losing LeGarrette Blount really crippled the Eagles' offense.
Oh. Yeah, it did.
But
last
real offensive trade today.
Yeah, I mean, we can kind of group it together. Talking about the Green Bay Packers and some of the moves they've made today.
Well, they made two moves, but only one of them was offensive.
Oh, yeah, only one of them was offensive, but
Ty Montgomery, now this is embarrassing.
Yeah, Jason, this is just so
what's
bad.
Going on with Green Bay? What happened with Ty Montgomery this past weekend? You're the Packers.
I heard a lot of reports that it was a combination of things, and I think you can probably understand. So obviously we're talking about him deciding to bring the kickoff back on like the 2 yard line or 3 yard, two or 3 yards back into the end zone. The Packers were down by one or two, I believe. So it was a situation where they could win the game with a field goal, and they had like a minute and a half or 2 minutes left, and Aaron Rodgers back there just raring to go, just warming up the old sidearm, ready to just rip apart the Rams like
Funny
he always does. And everyone, yeah, it was one of those things where so many people could be like, listen, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. He's going to march him down the field 65 yards, and Mason Crosby is going to kick a 38-yard field goal and win the game for him.
And drain all the time, too.
Yeah, and drain up all the time. And, like, anybody could have told you, like, yep, I would not be surprised if that happened.
Even against the Rams.
Yeah, and I'm not even kidding. As the ball is in the air, I just had this thing in my stomach. I was like, he's going to fumble it. He's going to bring it. He's going to fumble it. Like I don't know what it was. I just knew it was going to happen. And so he brings it out, and sure enough, he gets popped, and the ball pops out. And there was nothing anyone could do because Todd Gurley had a great heady play that probably lost people some fantasy matchups. But he downed the ball at, like, the five-yard line. They ran out the clock. Rodgers didn't even get a chance. And I can understand it from Montgomery's perspective to a certain extent because this is a guy who, as of 2 years ago, was a fantasy breakout. I mean, he came in kind of unheralded. I think he was a late-round draft pick, or he was undrafted or something as a wide receiver.
Well, the issue was his motivation to take
it
out.
Yeah,
he stepped in as a running back and kind of made a mark and then got injured, and then they had to go a different direction, and they drafted two running backs last year, and they kind of took over. And so this year, he really hasn't had an opportunity. And so at the end of the game, he was in on some play, and McCarthy benched him and put in Aaron Jones. And Montgomery, apparently, according to a lot of anonymous players, was just pissed off and slammed his helmet down and was like, fuck this, you guys are bullshit, whatever, all the things.
This was him saying, I'm going to do me. It's a fucking joke.
So he tried to play hero ball. That's what happened. He got the kickoff and said, I'm going to win this game all by myself and prove to you that I deserve to be getting snaps. And pulled it out, lost the ball, and he's gone. I think I don't necessarily think
it's not just
that
he's
play.
Gone.
Well, I don't
traded,
think that play prompted.
He got traded to Baltimore for a 2027th round pick. It's just that he's gone. He's gone for next to nothing.
Yeah,
and it's
I don't
conditional
think. Although
too,
you know,
if he sneezes once between now and 2020, they don't get that pick.
Yeah, I think that was just getting a little bit of... But I think, honestly, this play was, like, the final straw that broke the camel's back. I don't think it was, like, just that play that did it. I think it was probably a combination of the attitude that he was slamming his helmet and just the fact that he really wasn't playing much anyway. Like, he was kind of a higher-profile guy who was a third-string running back because he really wasn't getting in there much ahead of Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams. So I think he just... Like, he wasn't going to play anyway, and they were probably looking to cut him at some point soon just to, like, let him have a chance, and then this play really just sealed it, and they were like, all right, you're gone. We can't deal with this anymore. But then on the flip side, going to the Ravens, I don't see him doing anything over there.
Nothing.
Because he's already behind two running backs again. He He's behind Javoris Allen and
Alex Collins.
Alex Collins, yeah, I was blanking on the name there. But yeah, he goes into the same exact situation where he's behind two other guys.
Yep. And I think a bigger relevance is more back in the Green Bay side of it. I think Aaron Jones, after coming off a good week, he might be somebody that could have a little bit more value going forward.
Oh, absolutely. I picked him up in our league. Somehow he was available. I picked him up, had him on my bench for his performance this week, but I'm starting him this week. I think against New England, he'll really put out. I mean, given that Jamal Williams hasn't really done much so far this year either, and Aaron Jones is just, I mean, when you watch the games, he is clearly the most explosive running back. Like, he was, even with Ty Montgomery, he was the only one on that team capable of ripping off a 15-yard run, which isn't, like, a whole lot when you consider, like, an NFL running back.
They like, add up if you can do a couple of them, though.
Yeah, like, you would think pretty much any of them can do it every once in a while, but, like, Jamal Williams just couldn't. I mean, he's a fine player. He's a good pass blocker. They like having him on the field. But he's not a number one running back, and Aaron Jones is.
So I was watching that Ty Montgomery fumble happen, and I was thinking to myself, and this is unfantasy related, but
yeah, I don't think this entire conversation is very fantasy related, but go ahead.
I was thinking to myself, like, I've seen the Rams in those blue throwbacks already this year, and you know, a team is only allowed to wear their alternate jersey twice a season. It's like, wow, it's midway through the season and they're done wearing their alternate jersey. Wrong. What I found out,
they changed it to their away?
No, the LA Rams retired the navy blue jersey. The navy blue jersey is gone. So they wear the all-white as both their home and away jersey. Or they have the all-white listed as their away, but they wear it whenever they want. The blue and yellow throwback is technically listed as their home uniform.
Hmm.
And the all-yellow color rush is their alternate jersey.
Interesting.
How random is that?
The LA really Suns. So
they can wear that blue and yellow throwback as many times as they want at home because it's listed as their home uniform.
Whatever, man. As long as
I gotta say, that is that's one of the better home jerseys. I mean, that helmet.
Well, do you know how much work
sweet.
That they have to do for the helmets? Because they have to remove the face mask and the decals to put on the other colors.
Yeah, because you have to have the same helmet the whole year. You can't change it because of colors.
It's such a weird setup that they've got.
Yeah, that always baffled me whenever the Packers go to the Acme Packers because they have to keep the same helmets. So
those are terrible.
Oh, I
those
hate
are the
them.
Worst.
But it's just such
a
weirdly
of, like,
contrasting.
I don't even know what a Packer is.
I don't know.
But, the jersey to the helmet, it's like totally, the colors just do not match. So it just always looks weird to me that you have these like new helmets, but then these like hideous old jerseys.
In the words of Meek Mill, all white Maybach, Green Bay, they pack.
Interesting.
Wow. The poet of our generation.
Anyway.
On that one, we'll move on to the next conversation.
Next segment that we've got today.
Meek Mill's is a good transition.
We're going to look at players that have good matchups.
Yeah, we each picked out a player that we think is going to have a good week this week.
And we're
going to
follow that up with good players with bad matchups.
Who will struggle.
So let's start with our good matchups. Nick, it looks like our order is Nick, Jason, me. So you go first.
Yes, of course. I always put
first is the worst, second is the best.
Well, we save the best for last, right?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Keep telling yourself that. Anyway, I went with a quarterback, actually, rather than a position player. I went with Cam Newton versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think, obviously, the Buccaneers have been a defense that have been allowing offenses to explode all year long. But Cam Newton, I think, has also, in the same sentence, been putting it together recently. He's thrown 2 touchdowns in every game this year except for the first game of the season. And he's thrown for over 200 yards every game of the season except for week 1 and 3. But aside from that, he's also been getting the run part of his game back in order. So he's been getting the touchdowns and he's just running the ball at least 10 times a game. So when they're not getting that out of McCaffrey, Because usually he is the passing down guy. He's not running the ball quite as much as some of the other lead running backs in the league. Cam Newton is getting the ball on the ground, and he's doing well against good defenses as well. 24 points at Philly, 27 points last week against Baltimore. And this week, again, another terrible defense. They're at home against Tampa Bay. And
his,
then
his ownership is down 0.3%.
Yeah, to 98.2. Irrelevant. But aside from that, I think that with Fitzmattress.
I like it.
I was
going
to say Fitzmatrick.
Let's go with that.
Fitzmattress.
But no, Fitzmagic back in behind center. They could be scoring a lot of points, so Cam Newton might have to be, you know, lighting it up in order to keep up with the scoring that might be coming out of Tampa Bay. So,
well, at the very least, they might not be throwing 5 interceptions.
Yeah. But either way, I like that matchup a lot. I think Cam Newton has a chance to get 30 points this week.
Oh, man, that's bold.
Yeah.
Jason?
Yeah, I went with a position player on the Cleveland Browns, Jarvis Landry, because... for two reasons. So reason one, they're playing the Chiefs. Chiefs defense is not very good. So most opposing wideouts have done fairly well against the Chiefs, in combination with the fact that the Chiefs offense is very good. So the Chiefs offense obviously puts up a lot of points with that young fellow over there, quarterback, doing things. So the Chiefs offense does really well.
Fellow.
So that means... yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, that young fellow?
Yeah, that guy.
And that young
Yeah, that young guy over there. So it just basically means that the other team has to try and match whatever it is they're doing. So they're throwing the ball a lot, which obviously benefits the opposing quarterback, the opposing wide receivers. So Jarvis Landry, I think, initially would have been in that, you know, scenario anyway. When you look at the past couple of weeks, him and Baker have gotten more and more on the same page. Week 7 against Tampa Bay, 10 catches, 97 yards. And week 8, it was really weird. 8 catches, but only 39 yards. I don't even know how it's possible.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, that's really strange. Under, what is that, 5 yards a catch or something? But
a whole bunch of screen passes
so they're,
didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, behind the line of scrimmage.
But they're clearly,
that being said, if it's
they're
a point
clearly
per reception
week,
it's all right. Still 11
yeah,
points.
It's working out, yeah. I think they're clearly developing that chemistry there, and Jarvis is becoming his favorite target. And where I think this gets even better for Jarvis is they just completely got rid of all of their offensive coaches. So Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley are both gone. So that's the whole offense just gone in one day. So I think on this week where they're under this huge coaching change, I think the game plan this Sunday is going to be a lot of screens and a lot of bubble passes and a lot of jet sweeps and just a lot of simple things going to Jarvis Landry.
I will back you up in saying that Jarvis Landry does lead the league in the past 3 weeks in targets with 37. He has 37 targets in the past 3 weeks. Week 6, 3 weeks ago, he only had 2 catches on 10 targets, so that's kind of a little weird. But still, he's had 10 catches in or 10 targets in all but one game this year. So he's definitely a
yeah, I think more often than
guy.
Not the targets equal production or at least correlate to production.
Absolutely.
All right. So for my player that has a good matchup, I don't just have one player. I have a group of players, and that's any Rams wideout this week against New Orleans defense. New Orleans defense is ranked 31st against wide receivers as far as fantasy stats go. And the Rams, incredibly, have 3 top 20 wide receivers in Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Brandon Cooks. Cooper Kupp is expected to play according to Sean McVay. He still is listed as questionable after that MCL sprain, but he is expected to play. And if you really buy into the Josh Reynolds hype, he got 2 touchdowns this week. I don't know if I would start him, especially if Cooper Kupp is back, but if he's not, maybe buy into the Josh Reynolds hype. That being said...
that's 4 good targets right there.
Right.
Reynolds is a good target, too. He's just number 4 on the pecking order.
Any Rams wideout against New Orleans this week, you're going to look for Goff to have a field day against this defense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I agree with you. It goes with what I was saying last week about Goff, that of his three highest scoring games, fantasy-wise, they were against the three best teams he played against. So it means that he's in there at the end of the game, really, like, still trying. I think 2 weeks ago, he didn't even play the whole fourth quarter. But another interesting thing I noticed when watching the Rams-Packers game, the Rams don't use tight ends at all. So it's really weird. Like, I looked at just looked up their stats here. Their number one scoring tight end is Tyler Higbee, and he's ranked 51st in our scoring system. So, like, I think the Packers kind of got onto something where they used a lot of 4 and 5 defensive back defensive sets to try and combat that. And I think they succeeded to a certain extent. But, I mean, you're right. The Rams are just too good.
Like, well, the good news for the Rams wide receivers, other than the fact that New Orleans' secondary is that bad, is that Gurley's going to be bottled up by New Orleans' run-stopping defense. They're sixth in the league against the run. And
you think they're going to stop Gurley?
Yeah, there's only so much bodying up you can do with Todd Gurley.
Slow him down. It's going to force Goff to throw.
That's six against other teams.
Okay.
Not against the Rams.
Okay.
There's
but the good
way
news is you're
going to
talk about the team staying into it and forcing him to throw deep into the game.
Yeah.
The Rams are fourth.
If anything,
or,
the Saints.
I'm sorry, the Saints are fourth against defenses. Because the Saints have a very high-scoring offense. Kamara, Ingram, Michael Thomas, etc. So, if they can keep scoring against the Rams' defense, Goff is going to have to keep throwing the football against New Orleans' poor defense.
I think it's going to be the other way around. I think, if anything, New Orleans might struggle against the Rams' defense. And I think the Rams will be up in this game.
And after throwing, like, 600 yards to the receivers.
So I think the Saints are going to be the ones who are going to have to throw the ball, which is okay with them, because that's how they play. I just think that Drew Brees is going to be under a lot of pressure because, again, with the trade deadline, the Rams decided to go out and make their defense even better.
Yes, the rich getting richer.
Yes. So they went out and got, what's his name? Dante Fowler, former first rounder. So they got him from Jags, who he was one of those pieces that made their defense so good in the past few years. So their defensive line with Aaron Donald, Ndamukong Suh, and Dante Fowler is just going to not give any quarterback the time to throw the ball. So Drew Brees is going to be having to do a lot of quick passes. Kamara and Mark Ingram, they might have some trouble getting yards if they're catching passes behind the line of scrimmage. So I think that the Rams will do plenty of work, and their wide receivers will all get points before that happens. But I don't know. I think that the Rams are a much better all-together team. So
we'll see. I think it's a good matchup.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about good players that have bad matchups this week.
We want to go reverse order this time. I put my name first, but we can go.
All right, we'll go reverse order. Now, you talk about good players. Mine's kind of up and down this year, but he's a good player. That being said, LeSean McCoy against Chicago's run-stopping defense.
He's had a good past few weeks.
Well, this past week against New England, he got a ton of carries.
Yeah, he did good.
Well, I think it's because the first couple weeks of the season, they just forgot that they had him on their roster.
Well, yeah. Either way. Chicago's defense, just looking at Khalil Mack, especially if he plays this week.
I think he's back this week.
Is he back this week?
I think so.
I started typing in Shady when I was trying to type in LeSean McCoy.
He's looking for McCoy's stats.
There's
Khalil Mack, he is just, that guy is a terror on the defensive end.
He really is. But
like, there's no other way to describe him.
You look at him, he had 12 carries, only 13 yards, but he caught 6 catches for 82 yards against New England.
It was a very defensive game around.
Well, yeah, I mean,
especially in the first half.
They didn't score a touchdown. They kicked
field
goals.
I mean, like, watching the game yesterday, the first, like, 10 offensive snaps for the Bills, I think Shady lined up at quarterback more often than Derek Anderson.
They did do a lot of wildcat.
They did.
But the Bears'
But that
defense.
Being said, the Bears' run-stopping defense ranks second. The defense ranks second against running backs.
They're pretty damn good.
And if the Patriots can really put that much of a beating on Shady, you better bet the Bears are going to do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good one.
Easy. Yeah, I think the fact that he has such an underwhelming season so far and facing a bad matchup, this is a really easy bench this week. Unless you're, like, in dire straits at running back, I think, yeah, this is a very easy bench this week.
Definitely.
I would normally let you go next, Jason, but I just, because my option was going off the same matchup, I'll just go next. I went with the other team, a certain quarterback who's been doing very well recently, Mitchell Trubisky.
Mitch!
He's been quietly one of the best quarterbacks for fantasy this year. I think he ranks in the top five.
He did have that six touchdown.
Dude, he almost has 300 rushing yards. I don't know where that came from, but he's doing really well running the ball.
Yeah, he's doing really well altogether. But I don't like this matchup for him. And I think that he's going to struggle against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, you see what they did to Tom Brady. They held him to 9 points in the first half. So I don't think the Bills' defense is the reason for their failures. I think it's all their offense. I think the defense has been the only good thing about him. So I think
the Patriots didn't score an offensive touchdown until the fourth quarter, right?
Tom Brady had zero passing touchdowns.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Bills' defense is the real deal. So I think Trubisky, despite how good of a season he's been having, he's going to have an off week this week.
All right, Jason?
Yeah, I hear you. Mine, I think, is for a couple of reasons, and it's James Conner for the Steelers. Because, one, they're going against Baltimore. And I think this could be a tricky game for him because he is kind of getting that deer in the headlights, like, oh, wait, this might be the end of my run because Le'Veon is probably coming back in week 10. And here
Everybody
he is,
Everybody wants
week
to
nine.
Say it. Le'Veon has not done anything.
He hasn't done anything, but you can't not come back week 10 and just... So he has to come back week 10.
He's
going to
prove you wrong.
I heard I mean, I hope he doesn't, but...
I heard he doesn't have to come back to week 11, by the way.
He doesn't. He has to play 6 weeks, so 11
Oh, it's 6 weeks. Okay,
counts.
Okay. But either way, so... Week 9 against Baltimore. Baltimore is the best defense in the NFL. I think they were the number one scoring defense as of last week.
Yeah.
They've been tough against running backs. They've been tough against wide receivers. They've been tough against everyone. So I think James Conner is going to struggle just inherently because it's Baltimore, but also because this might be one of his last opportunities because he's facing Baltimore. If he has an underwhelming stat line here, all of a sudden here comes Le'Veon in a week or two, and then his job is done. So... I think this could be a tricky game for James Conner. He's been one of those great stories this year, having, what is it, 3 30-point games, which is crazy. But I think his Cinderella story might be coming to an end, sadly.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I think it's just this season, though, that it will be coming to an end, because if they don't have Le'Veon Bell next year, they're going to be holding on to James Conner.
Oh, yeah.
Relying on him next year, so I don't think
he's next year he'll be good to go.
Worried.
I don't see any scenario where... Even if Le'Veon comes back and plays the last 6 games or 7 games for the Steelers this year, I don't see any scenario that he comes back next year. I think the relationship is just too far destroyed.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. James Conner, he's got a tough matchup there.
He does. Next on the list, let's look for good games to watch for fantasy. Somebody put, not Oakland, San Fran. Well, that's a fact.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
I think I heard someone saying that might be the worst primetime game of all time.
Thursday night is just not good at getting good Thursday night games.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't know why.
They just really need to end Thursday night football.
All the players hate it.
Everybody hates it.
I like having football in the middle of the week. That's my only thing.
I like having football in the middle of the week, but
yeah, but not if it means two games of Joe Buck.
I don't. Yeah. Oh, especially now that it's Joe Buck.
Yeah, it's two games of Joe
Buck
a week.
It makes it that much worse. I forgot that it's Joe Buck.
I can't do it. Last week was my nightmare because Wednesday, World Series game, Joe Buck. Thursday, football game,
nope.
Joe Buck.
Tuesday,
Friday,
Tuesday,
World Series game,
or Joe Buck.
More Joe Buck.
Then Thursday, Joe Buck.
It's awful.
Friday, Joe Buck.
It never ends.
It was.
I was like. Man, as much as I hate this guy, just, like, take a nap, dude. Like, what are you doing to yourself?
He is such a
God, he's awful.
Person.
Every I literally... So, fantasy aside, I cannot, for the life of me, understand why Fox says, we have this guy who does football all season and who doesn't do a single baseball game all year, but let's just, like, toss him into the World Series. Why not?
I wonder if he has any fans.
I doubt it, man.
People,
I feel like
there are people
hates
writing
him.
Articles that it's time to stop the Joe Buck hate. I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. He's garbage.
It's not going to work if we don't. If we stop it,
he's garbage.
As long
there
as he's on the air, people will hate.
There has been thousands of fans that have signed petitions to prevent him from broadcasting their games. He's garbage, and he hates Philadelphia.
He's so bad.
It really,
he's
it
so
is
bad.
So clearly apparent how much he hates Philadelphia.
It
and
just
Jason, you really
insane.
Shouldn't hate it because he loves the Packers.
He does. Yeah, he loves Aaron Rodgers. Him and Troy Aikman are all over Aaron Rodgers all the time. But it just drives me insane that every time for the past like 6 years you see a World Series like recap, like hype video or something, every single one of them has Joe Buck's call.
Dude,
at
I'm
the final out of the World Series, and I hate it.
I realized the same thing today. They did like a series recap, and it was just like I heard Joe Buck's voice like all
my
over,
God,
and I'm
it's
just
all
like, ugh, I hate that voice.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, and Rizzo catches it, the Cubs are World Series. I'm like, oh, all I can hear is Joe Buck, and it just makes me grind my teeth.
And it's Boston. Makes it that much worse.
Regardless.
Actually, I didn't mind that, because my boys did win, so I was happy
Jason,
about that one.
Jason, I don't care about you in Boston. Yeah. My boys?
Because I know a few of them.
Cool.
I was only rooting for a couple.
They still play for fucking Boston.
That's true.
God,
yeah, I was kind of torn. I didn't know if I should root for,
F-bomb.
Like, Chase Utley and the Dodgers and... The guys I know there
third,
are the
I was quoting.
The guys.
Oh, oh, oh! Second, this show.
All right, let's
third
continue.
All time.
Yes.
All right, matchups.
That's one.
I mean, New Orleans and LA is a pretty good one because you have New Orleans where.
Definitely pick
the
over on that
game. Is a starting
I think
option.
Both teams score
Kamara
at least
Ingram,
20
they're
points.
Both starting
I
options.
Think it
Michael
ends
Thomas
up being
is a starting
24
option.
To 35
and then on LA side, just everyone is a starting option. So there's a lot to look
Carolina
for in that one.
Is going
to
be a complete shootout. A complete shootout.
That was one of the other ones I thought.
Regardless of who is at quarterback for Tampa Bay, I think that game is going to be a very high-scoring game.
Yeah.
And I think every single player on both teams is going to get involved.
I think there's a chance Tampa Bay could be held in check by Carolina's defense, but I wouldn't bet on it. I would bet on it being high scoring as well. And then the last one that I would pick would be Sunday night primetime.
I was going to say, that's the easy one.
Green Bay versus New England. Rodgers versus Brady. Oh my God, that's going to be quite the headline, all the build up. Can't wait to watch all that pregame.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Although, you know what? You know what kind of drives me crazy is one of my pet peeves?
Yeah.
And I don't really even know why it is, but it's when...
It's just a way to sell the game.
Will always say, oh, it's Rodgers versus Brady.
Just
like
marketing.
Those two are not on the field at the same time. It's the same thing in baseball with starting pitchers where they'll say, oh, it's Kershaw versus Sale. Like, those two are not directly competing against each other. Like, it's Rodgers versus the Patriots defense... and Brady versus the Packers defense. But it happens all the time. It's been happening. I mean, we've had the Brady-Manning matchup, Peyton Manning matchups for years, and, you know, all the quarterback
the same
matchups.
Thing
and
with people calling
I just,
Cowboys
I always
American
think it's funny
team.
When
it's
the
just,
broadcast,
oh,
every broadcast
oh,
every
we don't
single
have
one
to
I've heard
do that,
from.
Do we?
But it's just one of those things that, like, is one of my little pet peeves, and I don't
no,
understand why everyone
no,
says it.
No, it's very
right.
clearly New England, and it's not even funny. Well,
honestly,
is,
I think Green Bay
what does
might
America's
be America's team.
Mean?
Team
America's team means the most,
everyone just
most bandwagon fans.
Is that what that means?
It has to
not
no,
just
I think
the
New England
team.
Is
no,
going the other
the,
way.
It's
I think
the,
New
it's
England,
the most bandwagon fans.
I don't think it ever was America's
be
team because I think they went from, like, okay, they
I
got one
disagree.
Super Bowl to.
I
think it's just the most loved
like
team.
The Patriots
I think the Patriots are like.
I think they still have the most bandwagon fans.
People hate them a lot more than they love them.
I don't know.
There's
been other bandwagons.
It
would have
been Seattle.
I think more people hate the Patriots than people that love them.
It's New England now.
Kansas City.
No, Kansas City doesn't really have bandwagon fans.
They're good
Kansas
fans.
City are they're solid fans.
Yeah.
They
I just
pack
think like,
Arrowhead whether they win or lose.
Yeah, like I just think the other point with the Packers outside of,
I would
yeah.
say yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think like the argument for the Packers being America's team is like outside of Bears fans and like Vikings fans, no one really hates
I
them.
I think,
like you know. random fans of like random teams will hate
the
Patriots.
You're right with the Packers.
Because, like, they're the Patriots, and you just hate that they win
Brett
so much. But
everybody loves
I think America's
Brett
team
Favre,
is just like that team where you have the passionate
fans
and like the casual
everybody
fan
loves
doesn't
Wisconsin.
Hate.
Wisconsin people are very nice.
But guess what? But guess what?
What?
No one likes us. We don't care.
And everyone loves Rodgers.
Yeah,
too.
But
let's go.
Nice.
Super Bowl 52 champions.
They have cheese.
It's a small town feel.
Nice.
You know, the whole town of Green Bay.
We're assholes.
Down.
No one likes us. We don't care.
That's true.
It's true. Nobody likes us.
We don't care. All right. We are pushing an hour at this point, so let's talk about trades that we wish happened today. Everybody,
that is,
I guess, pick
correct.
Mine's
everyone will bring up
mine's
the batteries
really
at Santa Claus or snowballs
either
at Santa Claus or something.
Le'Veon Bell or LeSean McCoy to Philadelphia, and I'm not just saying that as unbiased. I'm saying that literally as a fantasy prospect. The Eagles don't have a feature back right now. Had they gotten a feature back into this offense, could you even imagine the amount of fantasy points they'd put up each week? Even Shady, who's really fallen off a cliff this year, would immediately resurge as a top 15 running back.
Oh, yeah.
Right, they throw the ball to the running backs.
Probably.
Constantly.
I mean, you
Wendell
couple
Smallwood
throwing him into that offense and
some
being
screen pass
the 15-carry, 20-carry a night guy.
Can you imagine
and then also
Shady?
Getting pass-catching duties. I think that would help a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
what
yeah,
else?
It would just be... I mean, I remember watching games where he would catch the ball and just the jukes he made, I don't think I've ever seen any human make those jukes in my life. My trade is a really quick one and one that this guy was on the trade block at all, and I don't think these two teams were linked, but just a trade that I think would be interesting given what's happened in a few weeks, is Derrick Henry to the Raiders. Because right now in the Titans offense, it is just pitiful, and no one is doing anything.
when I picked Derrick Henry,
it's just
wrong
that I want to see because Derrick Henry has struggled this year, and you could just see the physical talent. Like you could just see that. Yeah, like you could like when you look at him play, you're like that is a man among boys, and he's an NFL running back, and like you see that Titans offense, and like no one is doing anything, like. Marcus Mariota has been injured. Whatever's happening with him, he's not being effective. The offensive coordinator isn't drawing up plays. Whatever you want to say, they're not doing anything. So just, I would have thought it'd be interesting to ship Derrick Henry off to Oakland, where they lose Marshawn Lynch, and they had that running culture. And especially losing Amari Cooper, I think they are probably going to be running the ball more. I mean, you're seeing even Doug Martin getting the ball. Can you imagine if you threw Derrick Henry into there? I don't think he would be this all-world.
Didn't you
running
like,
back,
say that he's
making
completely
the Pro Bowl
irrelevant?
And
he is completely irrelevant.
Having
his
value spike quite a bit.
We're going to hope. It's Jalen Richard.
Rashad.
I think I said earlier, I don't think he's even the best.
I have a trade I wish didn't happen.
He's not even the best running back option on his team.
Yeah,
I'll tell
know.
You what.
Why don't you draft a good wide receiver like Odell Beckham Jr. or something instead of like having to go out and just take them from other people?
See, Nick, when you're winning,
for obvious reasons,
win now trades.
Yeah, when you're losing, you trade your defense for nothing. man, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
trade deadline's been rough on me this year.
To be fair, we did draft receivers.
Hey, whatever works,
Mac
man.
Collins is. Still injured, and Shelton Gibson.
Yeah, but
he's now like seventh on the depth chart. We drafted Aguilar.
I'm just getting some
check.
Yeah, go ahead, you're number three wide receiver now, but it's like, god damn it, you guys are getting like everybody.
Hey, Aguilar took a few
Alshon
years
was pissed
to spring,
about that.
But he finally.
Oh,
came
that was such a great pickup,
Golden Tate. Who by the way, I had on one of my fantasy teams, and I immediately put him on the trade block and. I have already traded him.
Alshon?
No,
or
Golden
Tate. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nick's just salty that he's on the Eagles, so he won't keep him on his fantasy team.
I don't want to root for anybody on the Eagles.
I own Saquon in the league. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I told you that's different. Like, he's a stud. Like, you're happy he's doing good because the Giants are doing so bad, so you can root for him.
I also rooted for him at Penn State.
Yeah, well, that too. You have that tie. So you have other ties. But
and he's a good person. Odell's not a good person. But,
Golden Tate's a little bit of an asshole, too.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Oh, my God. He's the biggest showboat. He celebrates before he gets into the end zone every time.
Yeah, well, we grew up with DeSean Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I will say this about Golden Tate. His reaction to scoring on the fail Mary with the Seahawks and Packers, obviously he didn't catch the ball, but he broke out, and as soon as he, like, got off the ground, he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, and, like, celebrating like he caught the ball.
He's a cocky guy.
And then you look at the replay, and he's, like, behind the Packers defender, and they called it a touchdown somehow. But you look at his reaction, he was just so cocky and pompous.
No, he grew up with DeSean Jackson.
No, you didn't, man.
That's cool.
My childhood was Freddie Mitchell and Reggie Brown. And Terrell Owens, exactly. We're used to showboating receivers. We can handle that.
Yeah.
Except when DeSean fumbles before the end zone.
Yeah, well.
And Terrell Owens for a season and a half.
He did it in college, too. It was literally like the third time he's done it, which is really embarrassing. But anyway.
All right, so I've got
some... Didn't that happen like twice?
I always, when I do my fantasy football research, like to look at stats beyond just the ESPN or Yahoo page, and just doing the research and all the different tabs you can look at. Some of the stats that I really like to see that they don't always emphasize in fantasy are targets, because obviously that doesn't necessarily equate to receptions, but targets are good. They mean that you're targeted a lot, clearly. But... Yes, but that means your quarterback's looking at you whether you're doing good or not. That's what I mean. Other ones I like to look at
targets
are
mean you're targeted
within the red zone, stats within the red zone area, and aside from that, I like to look at big play potential.
Attention.
If you've listened to these podcast episodes, you've probably heard me say big play potential probably 20 times. Usually when talking about Saints players, but anyway, I think that I just wanted to go over some of the surprising stats that you might not realize that are very relevant. There are three players who have 6 touchdowns in the red zone. Can you name any of them?
What is the question?
Three players who have 6 touchdowns in the red zone.
In the red zone?
This is running backs, wide receivers, tight ends.
Todd Gurley.
These are receiving touchdowns.
Oh, touchdown in the end zone. Receiving touchdowns. Okay, so Eric Ebron.
6 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, Eric Ebron's definitely one.
James White is one of them.
Wow.
Yeah, Hungy, the non-believer. I know you probably saw him on the list, but... So you got Eric Ebron? No, he does not have 6... He has
no,
probably
it would be receiving
touchdowns.
He's got more than 6 running touchdowns in the red line.
No, he is not.
I don't think it's going to be another running back.
I think Melvin Gordon...
Is Todd Gurley the other?
A few of his came from outside of the red zone, believe it or not.
Is it a tight end?
Nope, it's a wide receiver.
Oh, is Melvin Gordon one?
Jason... You might know him.
Davante Adams.
Yep. So those three guys all have 6 receiving touchdowns within 20 yards or closer towards the end zone.
Ah, it's probably Devontae. Yeah.
In terms of actual
receptions, he's been
balling. Alvin Kamara leads the league with 13 catches within the red zone.
And Michael Thomas is number 2 with
Michael
12.
Thomas is number 2.
Saints are throwing the ball in the red zone rather than trying to keep it on the ground.
For about 2 yards at a time, clearly, because they're getting lots of attempts.
Wow.
They got Ingram now.
The funny thing, though, about the Saints' offense is they don't many options
this year at least he hasn't really been too much of a pass catcher.
Like their tight ends haven't really done
but
all
number
that
three
much.
On this list.
They don't really have any other wide receivers.
Catches
they got Ingram back,
Juju
but
Smith
for a while Schuster. It was just the 2 of them.
I think that he's been
Obviously
he's been having a very good year,
that's true.
He I was kind of surprised to see that he was number three on the list of red zone catches. Just because they have other weapons. They've got Antonio Brown. They've got James Conner. You know, they've got other people to throw the ball to. Those two tight ends. But, yeah, he's one of the top red zone targets. So I think those two are very good. But in terms of the other stat that I really like is plays, or in this case, catches of 20 yards or more. Here you have three people with 14 catches of 20 yards or more. That is all tied for first place. Can you name any of those ones, Jason? He's got one of them. He's one of the three. Either of the other two?
Brandon Cooks.
No, he is not. 14 plays? He would be one of the top fantasy players if he had 14 plays.
Would Geronimo Allison be one?
No, yeah. These guys have 14 different plays of 20 yards or more in a catch. Odell is not. He has 11.
Oh, I thought you said like four. Okay, never mind. 14.
I just looked at the list already.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Is Odell one?
Because I'm letting you.
They're both in the AFC. I'll put it that way.
Hungy, what are you thinking?
AJ Green is not. He's number next on the list with 12.
Okay, let me have one more guess.
Three people being in front of him.
Is AJ Green one?
Tyreek Hill is one of them, and then the last one is DeAndre Hopkins. So yes.
All right.
Those are
give me the list there. Or Tyreek Hill has to be one then, right?
Yeah I'd say
I probably would have gotten that one soon.
But this is where you look at this stat, and it's
yeah. Brandon Cooks
was
the one like
DeAndre
right off the
Hopkins
bat. I was like, all of his catches are deep.
Top wide receivers
like,
in the league.
He's a ton of catches. He has a ton
Cooks,
of catches, and he has a bunch
of
targets, and
of
all
top.
Of them are deep.
So, seeing a stat like that, and then seeing a name like that at the top of that list, I always like to target players like that, where if they lead a certain category, that could be telling, and maybe they're not getting the yards per se, but they are getting a good share and a good their quarterbacks look at them a lot, you know. I like to target those types of players.
Well, I'd be willing to bet that, I mean, okay, let me look up the stats here with the targets. I would say Tyreek Hill and DeAndre Hopkins both have significantly more targets than Brandon Cooks, so they have more volume of opportunities. Let's see, DeAndre Hopkins has 78, and Tyreek Hill has 65. But then let's find Brandon Cooks. He's only got 52. So he's got 13 less than Tyreek Hill and a solid bit. What is this, 52, 78. So he's got 26 less than the top guy of targets. So he's got a significant amount of targets less to work with and less volume. So DeAndre Hopkins might have a bunch more catches, and he might have more catches that are under 10 yards. But he's just also, through sheer volume, just converting and getting more catches of 20 yards or more. Whereas Brandon Cooks, it's just like most of his catches are downfield. Like, he's getting sent down no matter what. It's almost like he's running like a vertical every single play, and Jared Goff is just finding him because he's taking the top off the defense and he's got the other guys taking attention away, so he doesn't have to deal with double coverage from safeties as much deep down the field, which helps him a lot. But yeah, it does say a lot about the value of his opportunities, because I mean, we were just talking about Golden Tate getting a lot of opportunities, but none of them are really deep down the field, so there's a certain cap to his production.
I don't know, man.
Like, you wouldn't really expect Golden Tate to have that 30-point outburst, but it's not unreasonable at all for Brandon Cooks to have a 30-point outburst.
No, yeah.
Anyway, Jason, I think it's time. Go ahead, take your shot.
Yeah, or like Jarvis Landry, who we were talking about earlier, 8 catches
our
for 39 yards. Like, that would never, ever, ever happen to Brandon Cooks.
That's our sponsored, unsponsored hot take. All right.
Let's see, we got it lined up here.
No, we this is a hot take.
Fire
it's,
starts.
Jason, this is supposed to be a hot take. That was the whole purpose.
That's the whole point.
Oh, yeah. And just to reiterate, this is not a hot take. This is a
fireball shot. It's supposed to be a
starting kind of take where
there it is.
Who's owned? Yeah, it's hot.
You know what we should do? We should have to do this a few times at the beginning of the episode, so you're actually drunk like during the episode.
Well, it's just more of just a fire in my mouth.
Go ahead.
Raekwon. Ah, we should. Yeah. Let's make it a game. Okay. So, my guy, we're going back to a Saints player, Traquan Smith. So, I think this week could be an interesting one for Saints wide receivers, like you guys were talking about earlier with Michael Thomas and the fact that this could be a shootout against the Rams and those high-powered offenses. And I think a lot of the attention on the Saints defense or the Rams defense will be going towards Michael Thomas, and rightfully so. And I think he'll still have a solid game just because he's so talented. But the other side of the field is Traquan Smith, because Ted Ginn is on IR, Cam Meredith is on the other side, and Cam Meredith has done not much of anything. He's got, let me count it up here, 9 catches on the year. And Traquan Smith has had a couple of big plays. I mean, he had the one game against Washington in Drew Brees' record-breaking game where he had 3 catches, 111 yards, and 2 touchdowns, which is
a very
dangerous way to live if you're counting on those big plays.
Of those 9 catches over the last 3 games, he only has 1 more catch on the entire season.
But I think if you're looking at... Yeah, I mean, it is a hot take. Yeah, and he's only owned in 17% of the league.
You said it yourself. It has to be hot.
That is hot as hell.
And it's against the Rams, too.
But think of this. He's the third option in that offense. But here's why it's reasonable. It's a high-scoring game against the Rams.
Give him a point total,
third
Jason.
Option.
Where
he's
you,
number
where
three.
You think he gets?
Because Ted Ginn isn't there. Number one goes Michael Thomas. Number two, Alvin Kamara. Number 15, three is Traquan.
Okay.
So in a high-scoring game, I could see him having some opportunities here.
That's... I think that would be very good. Your hot take would be successful if he gets 15 points.
Yeah, let's go with 15. I think that's good for a starting caliber.
Keep an
eye
out for fireball hot take or Jason and Jason's alone. Matt does not condone this message.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going with.
Good lord. 10 catches on the season.
We'll see. Who knows, man? Who knows?
Doug Martin time!
Well, we'll see how it evens out.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, he's the number three option. Like, there's a lot to be said.
We're
gonna
call it
Drew Brees being the number three.
It's the transition. We're gonna bang the table a little bit.
You're gonna talk about getting a win, so you're just knocking on wood already.
We're gonna get a win. I have full confidence in my squad. I really don't. We're 1-7.
Can we start talking about Year Hungry 3 yet?
No. No.
Year Hungry 3? No? 3 Year of Hungry?
That being said. Oh my god.
Go follow us on social media.
I have full confidence. Actually, just kidding.
Fantasy Process Report on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes,
and
Spotify,
and
Google Podcasts.
Where else are we, Jason?
Anchor
hooked us up this week and got us
some Spotify action.
Yeah, they put us on about 6 different platforms just
big
without us asking.
Big ups to Anchor.
So hopefully we can get our...
They did. They randomly sent it out to
follow us on Twitter
everywhere.
At PPR _ official. We're here to answer any of your questions personally.
Not sure what happened, but
or
something must be working.
If you have any startup sit-ums, injury concerns, let us know. We're here for you.
I have a lot of injury concerns, but I'm going to ask us. I'm going to start tweeting to myself and then logging onto the official Twitter and replying to myself. Use some burner accounts.
That's sad.
some Kevin Durant right there.
That's sad, homie.
Some Brian Colangelo's wife.
Wow, thanks.
Can I rename the name of PPR to Eric Jr.?
No.
And then ending every tweet with like,
anyway,
Matt, you sound like a really
we'll
smart
back
person.
On our normally scheduled day next week, Wednesday. Only reason we didn't do Wednesday today was because
it's Halloween.
Tomorrow's Halloween.
Yeah, and we gotta hand out candy to kids.
Yeah, I gotta sit on my porch and throw candy at kids.
All right. That's how you do it?
Wait, speaking of Halloween, before we go, speaking of Halloween and the Brian Colangelo burner accounts, I heard of a great Halloween costume that only like diehard Philadelphia fans would even know anything about, so it wouldn't make sense for me to do it down here. Yeah, so it's a person
wearing a suit
jacket.
If you're not from Philadelphia, look up all of those things, or
a shirt with like enormously huge collars, and then having tweets like stapled to the jacket all over that are slightly burnt on the edges.
Oh, man. All right, we'll be back next Wednesday. Eagles are on bye this week, so there's
a lot of good matchups.
Not much for me to do.
That's true.
Giants are on bye too.
All right, gives Golden Tate plenty of time to learn the offense. Then they're back for prime time against Dallas.
I don't even know who the Giants play. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's how far you've come.
Honestly, I think I said to somebody the other day, he's like, so, like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on with the Giants? I was like, honestly, like, I'm okay with getting a really good draft pick at this
point. You're past the point of caring.
I still want to get two or three more wins. Like, we can still get a good draft pick if we get two or three more wins. Come on, boys. That's
true. Oh,
you're
on my too?
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
So well, our Sunday will be dedicated to watching fantasy football.
Oh,
well,
we didn't even
you,
talk about
Nick
your backup
can't
quarterback.
Lose this week
I
by.
Mean, that doesn't.
I saw Trey Wingo did tweet today. The Giants managed to find a way to lose while on the bye week.
he probably like heard that he was getting first team snaps and got like super nervous and like didn't take his normal way to work. I don't know.
And then got arrested.
I don't know. It sounds like a stupid story. That's a non-story. So
much.
Don't read it.
All right, we'll be back next week. For now, take the Wonderlic test. Let us know what you got.
All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Yeah, take it easy. Go Birds.